Hello friends, this is Doug Batchelor. Would you like to hear a few amazing facts about the ocean? Well, for starters, did you know that 94% of life on Earth lives in the water? Yet we've only explored less than 5% of the Earth's oceans. In fact, we have better maps of Mars and the Moon than we do of the ocean floor. The longest mountain range in the world is beneath the sea, called the Mid-Oceanic Ridge. This chain of mountains runs more than 35,000 miles through the middle of the Atlantic Ocean into the Indian and Pacific Oceans. It has underwater peaks higher than those found in the Alps, and it comprises 23% of the Earth's total surface. Well, we all know that about 70% of the world is covered by ocean. When you consider that sunlight doesn't penetrate more than 330 feet below the water, that means the average depth of the world's oceans are about 12,000 feet. Most of the planet is then in a state of perpetual darkness. Did you know that the Bible says that someday all of the world will be plunged into darkness for over 1,000 years? Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, listening friends, to Bible Answers Live, and that's what this program is all about. If you have a question regarding the Word of God, give us a phone call. It's a free call in North America, 800-463-7297. 800-GOD-SAYS. We have lines open if you have a question. One more time, 800-463-7297. And we also have resources that we make available during the program, and we'll give you a separate number for that in just a moment. My name is Doug Batchelor. Pastor Jean Ross is returning tonight from a speaking appointment this weekend, and he sends his regards, but with the help of our studio crew, we're going to see if we can wing this program. We always start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings, and we just pray that your presence will be here. And we ask, Lord, that you'll bless in the nature of the questions that come in. Please quicken our minds with your Spirit as we seek for truth and the answers. And I pray that you'll guide us, Lord, so that we're all transformed a little more into the image of Jesus as a result of this study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, maybe you're wondering about that amazing fact we began with. I thought it was fascinating that you consider, since the average depth of the world's oceans is over 12,000 feet, and sunlight only goes down about 330 feet, and that's in clear water, that means that sunshine never shines on most of the world's surface. And there's going to be 1,000 years of darkness, the Bible says, coming in the future, sometimes known as the millennium. Let me read this to you from Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years are finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about, what is this bottomless pit where the devil is bound? You know, it's interesting, but the word that you find there in the Greek for bottomless pit is the word abussos. That's where we get the word abyss. And it simply means the darkness, the void. You can read in the Bible in the Greek version of the Old Testament, when it says, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, it calls it an abussos. So this is the word that describes the condition of the world during the 1,000 years. You see, when Jesus comes back, that marks the beginning of the millennium. The dead in Christ are caught up to meet him in the air. They go back to glory, and we live and reign in that heavenly kingdom with Christ for 1,000 years. In the meantime, all the wicked on earth are destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. Satan and his angels are bound in this dark planet. The Bible says that the sun will go dark. The moon shines like blood. This planet is plunged into darkness for 1,000 years, and Satan is trapped there in this bottomless pit, the abusos. At the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus comes back. His feet descend and touch the Mount of Olives. The New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. All the dead who have ever lived are raised. That's when you have this great white throne judgment. And after they're judged, the Bible says fire comes down from heaven and devours the wicked. It forms a great lake of fire on the planet that purifies the planet. And then God creates a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. This is why Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth." Now, I just gave you a very quick, rapid Bible study on the millennium subject. But you really need to understand this. There's a lot more scripture that I could share. That's why you need the study guide. It's called A Thousand Years of Peace. Now, of course, it's peace for the redeemed. It's darkness for the devil. 1,000 Years of Peace. If you'd like a free copy of this study on the millennium, if you've not read it, you should, because a lot of misunderstandings out there on this topic. Call the resource number, 800-835-6747. That's for the free resource on the millennium called A Thousand Years of Peace, 800-835-6747. With your phone call, that's 800-463-7297, or just 800-GOD-SAYS. Okay, with that lengthy introduction, we're going to start going to the phones. And hi, we're talking to Doug, who's listening from Inglewood, Florida. Doug, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Doug. How are you?
Doing great. And your question tonight?
Yeah, my question is, it's a little controversial, so I don't want to offend some people of other faiths out there. I was presented with a dilemma regarding some people that suggested that the God of Abraham, Yahweh, you know, the I Am of the Bible, is the same God as Allah. And I was wondering if there was any scripture or any biblical teachings that we can cling to or, you know, go to that will explain that. And
all right. That's a good question. Is the God of the Bible, let me see if I can summarize it and you correct me, is the God of the Bible the same God Allah that Islam worships?
Correct.
Now, I'll tell you, this is a tricky question. Let me explain why. There's no question that there are similar roots, people in Islam accept much of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. They feel like the New Testament has been tampered with, and they doubt the divinity, or they refute it, actually, and they doubt the crucifixion of Jesus, and they have a number of different theories about what really happened then that don't correspond to the Bible. There are similar roots to Islam that can be traced back to Abraham. So, but when you say, is it the same God, that's really a different question, because when you talk about a God, you're talking about who he is, what he teaches, what he's like. And while there may be similar history, there's a very different personality in the God of the Bible and the God of that Jesus portrayed. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And, you know, Jesus said that his word is truth, and that if you do not believe Moses and the prophets, then, you know, you won't be persuaded that one should rise from the dead. So Muslims do not believe in the same person of God that Bible Christians believe in. They openly reject that. They believe many of the same prophecies and scriptures, and you'll find some teachings that are similar, but the redemption of Christ is very different. It's more of a works-oriented religion. We believe that we're saved by virtue of the mercy of God and his death on our behalf. It's not due to any good works that we do. And so, does that mean that our God that we pray to never hears the prayers of Muslims? No. I think, you know, Jesus said he sends his his blessings around the world. He sends the rain and the sunshine and all kinds of people. Now, God is a good and a merciful God, and he hears the prayers of people that don't even know they're praying to him. So it's kind of a trick question. I know you're not trying to trick me, but you see what I'm saying?
No, I'm not.
But it's a difficult question because you have to answer it from two different perspectives. Are there historical links and similarities, and is there overlapping history? Yes. Is it the same person of God that is the character that's represented in the Bible? No, I think there's big distinctions. I have a lot of Muslim friends that we study and talk about these things, and you know, their picture of God is very different. So anyway, you know, there's things to be admired, and I think there are elements of truth in many different religions, but there is only one truth. You know, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, the Bible says. Hope that helps a little bit, Doug, and it's a deep question, very relevant these days. Appreciate your call. With that, we're going to talk to Patricia, who's calling from Portland, Oregon. Patricia, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Doug.
Evening.
Good question. How do you witness to someone who is not interested or doesn't seem to believe in eternal life, which obviously is very important to Christianity?
Yeah, well, there are three things that you can do to share your faith with someone.
Mm-hmm.
If they're open, and that's, of course, an if, mm-hmm. you share information. That could be verbally. That could be you give them a DVD, a book, a website link, so they can read, they can study, they can listen, if they're open. There's, you know, tons of resources that a person can look at.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you want to do is pray for them. And now if they're not open or they don't believe in these things, pray that God will soften their heart. Pray that God will give you wisdom if there's something you could say that would open their heart. And then the third thing is be a good witness, be a good example. Sometimes that might mean not, you know, coming on too strong. And that's something I have to watch. You know, you want to see everyone saved, and sometimes mm-hmm. you want to grab a person by the collar and say, listen, and you can't do that.
Yeah, but Pastor, specifically, eternal life. I mean, what is that? I mean, if this life has been the way it's been, why would they want to continue living again?
Well, if they need to understand that the eternal life, and you can read to them from Revelation 21, is mm-hmm. very different. There's no more pain, sorrow, tears. Eternal life is a very different life that would be extremely attractive. I wouldn't want to live forever in the world like we have now with the injustice and the war and the pain and the sickness and there's so many problems here. But eternal life is a completely different world. Paul says we can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for those that love him.
Well, that's why it makes it difficult for people to understand or believe that, because we can't even, I mean, you can't put your finger, your hands on it. It's not tangible. It's sort of...
Well, you know what you might do is we actually, at Amazing Facts, have a lesson. And it's a lesson that deals with the subject of heaven. It gives the scripture, and I think it also gives some logical arguments for heaven. And you can offer them the lesson about heaven. Is it for real? We'll send you a book. Anyone out there listening, if you have the same question as Patricia, there's a book called Heaven, Is It Real? And it'll talk about eternal life. Patricia, we'll send you a free copy. Just call 800-835-6747. Of course, you can also go to amazingfacts.org. I think you can read that book for free online. Just go to Amazing Facts and look under our free resources, Heaven, Is It For Real? Appreciate your question, Patricia. We're going to talk next to Roberta, who's calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Roberta, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Doug. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
My question tonight is about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was the role of the Holy Spirit then? Was the Holy Spirit allowed to comfort Jesus, or did he have to, in essence, turn his back on Jesus as the Father did?
Well, of course, God is omnipresent, the Father and the Spirit, so the Spirit was there observing. But in order for Christ to experience our separation from God, because he took our penalty, I believe the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from him, and that was one of the things that was brought such anguish to his heart, where he wept and prayed and cried, and he perspired, so blood actually came out. And I think that feeling the void, that's why David prayed in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So we all agree that the Holy Spirit can leave a person. Yeah, the Spirit of God was withdrawn from King Saul and an evil spirit came in. Christ, when he was bearing our sins, the Father and the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from him because he was experiencing what the lost experience. And the devil and all his minions crowded in on Jesus to tempt him to give up, to lose faith, to sin. And, you know, that was part of his terrible suffering that we can't even comprehend. So, it's an amazing thing. You know, there's a book that we can send you that talks about this subject, and it's called The High Cost of the Cross. And if you call our resource number, we'll send you that book. It talks about the sacrifice of Jesus. A beautiful, moving book, The High Cost of the Cross. Call 800-835-6747, and we'll send that to you, Roberta. Appreciate your call. Talking next with Michael, who is calling from without Pastor Ross. Takes a minute to man the phones. Michael, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live from Kentucky.
Hi.
And your question.
Hey, Pastor Doug, how are you?
Doing good.
That's good. My Bible question is, if a good person dies without accepting Jesus, will they be in heaven?
Well, there is a verse where Jesus says, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice. They that have done good shall come forth in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of damnation. So we're not saved by our goodness, but the best thing we can do is to accept the life of Christ, accept his forgiveness. He then transforms our hearts where we're filled with love, and we do good because we are saved. So, does God want us to do good? Yep, no question about it. The Bible says that God saves us for good works. That simply means for doing what's right, doing what's good. And the commandments of God are called good. The law of the Lord is good. And so, you know, obeying him and doing his word, in that sense. But we've got to be careful. You know, sometimes we'll tell kids, and if you do good, you go to heaven. You do bad, you go to the other place, and we're not really saved based on our good works or bad works. We're saved upon accepting Christ. But if you do accept Christ, you'll have the fruits of the Spirit, which will play out in good works in the life. So the works are really an indicator whether or not the heart's been changed, if that makes sense, Michael.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your question. Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to... That opens a line. If you want to call with a Bible question, one more time, the number is 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. I'm going to talk to Denny, calling from Minnesota. Welcome, Denny. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Pastor Doug, and for your ministry.
That's
a
privilege.
I have some questions on Jesus Christ, the deity, and one of them is the attributes. The omnipresent. I wondered if Jesus Christ is still omnipresent because he took on human form and was ascended in a glorified body, and he told the apostles, I believe, that he was sending someone in his place.
Yes.
And omnipotent, which is knows all things.
Yeah.
And I understand that he does not know all things. He does not know when he's coming next.
All right.
So did he lose those things, or does he still have them? Or
good question. All right. God is described in three main categories. One is omnipotent, means all-powerful. And the other one is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. And the third is omnipresent. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he obviously sacrificed some of his both omnipotence and omnipresence and his omniscience because... You know, as he's a five-year-old boy playing like a normal five-year-old boy, Jesus did not have all of the infinite knowledge of the cosmos swimming around in his little head. He had to learn to talk and walk like other children. So it's a mystery for us. How did God become a man? It tells us in Philippians and Colossians that Jesus laid aside his divinity. So he basically let go of certain divine powers, including his omnipresence and his omniscience. He said, I don't know the day and the hour of my coming, but my Father only. Well, that's, of course, while he's on earth. If, you know, they, what would it have even meant to the disciples if Jesus said, I'm coming in 2030. Let's just pick a number. Well, what would 2030 even mean to the disciples? They didn't even use that dating method. So for Christ to, you know, announce the date of his coming wouldn't have made any sense. But now, as Jesus is in heaven on the right hand of the Father, I seriously doubt that the Father is holding a secret piece of paper that says, I've got the day and the hour of your coming, Jesus, but I can't tell you because you might let it leak. I mean, now he knows that, I'm sure. On earth, he didn't know all things. But the big question that you ask is, what about the omnipresence of Christ? When he took on human form, you know, it appears from everything I read in the Bible that Jesus made a sacrifice that he will take with him through eternity. Christ can know everything and be with us all through God the Spirit. But Jesus took a human form, and even after the resurrection, he never appears in more than one place at a time. So it appears, and you got to be careful when you're talking about God, because his ways are higher than our ways as the stars are above the earth. But it appears he sacrificed a dimension of his divinity, and he no longer is omnipresent physically. He is through his Spirit. Jesus said, I'm with you wherever you go, to the end of the age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, during the rapture, isn't everybody going to be able to see him? Will he be omnipresent to everybody?
Well, it says that every eye will see him, but, you know, that's because he's sweeping around the circle of the earth, and saints are being caught up as he arrives in the sky, or caught up to meet him. So, I don't know how people on the Western Hemisphere would see him at the same time as people on the Eastern Hemisphere. I think it's just saying the day that he comes, everyone will see him. It doesn't say simultaneously. So, anyway, that's a good question, and I appreciate that. It makes us all think. By the way, I do have a book I'll be happy to share with you on the subject of the Trinity. The Trinity, is it biblical? And just call Denny at the resource number 800-835-6747, and we'll send that to you. Thank you very much for your call. With that, we're going to talk with Michael, calling from West Orange, New Jersey, listening on WMCA. Michael, you're on Bible Answers Live.
Pastor Doug, thank you for your service. And I got two quick questions. One is the new earth. I'm not getting a lot of details that I want to get about the new earth. And then when you tell me that, I'll ask you my second question. It's a quick one.
Okay. Well, the new earth is just a biblical way of saying that the Lord is going to remake this planet. If the world is destroyed by the brightness of his coming, and if at the end of the 1,000 years fires rain down from God out of heaven on the earth, it says, and it devours everything, there's a number of scriptures I can share with you that talks about how, let me give you one, 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Not just heat, fervent, it's almost like volcanic heat. Well, at the end of that 1,000 years, it says God makes a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven is the atmosphere around the planet, and the new earth is he's going to take this planet and recreate it and make it perfect again. He's going to finish his plan for paradise. So what was your second question, Michael?
Well, the second question was, with the disciples being with Jesus for 3 years, how come no one scripturally that I'm reading asked him a more detailed description of God and of heaven?
You're saying, how come nobody asked for more detail? Well, I don't know whether they asked. They did ask him about his coming and the end of the world. You know, let me tell you one thing. When Jesus came the first time, they thought that Jesus was going to, during his first coming, overthrow the Romans, reestablish the kingdom of David and Solomon, give them eternal life right there in the world. They didn't realize that there was going to be Christ dying and coming back again. You know, they really, the disciples struggled with the idea that the Messiah would die. So it wasn't until even after his resurrection, they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? They kept thinking about the earthly kingdom, and they didn't think about the new world with no more sin or pain. It didn't really become completely clear until the vision of Revelation given to the Apostle John. And he said, you know, last book in the Bible, he said, Jesus appeared to him. And there it's very clear about the tree of life, no more pain, no more sorrow, river of life, the city, what it looks like, how it will come down from heaven. He makes it all very clear there.
Now, so basically, they really didn't think they were dealing with God.
Well, yeah, you know, they were shocked when Jesus calmed the waves. They said, who is this?
Okay.
Even the wind and the waves obey him. They thought the Messiah was going to be like King David with some superpowers, but they, you know, he could turn water to wine and do what Moses did, but they didn't understand that he was God. I think they started to capture it because they called him the Son of the Living God, but they didn't realize that he was also himself divine. So, yeah, that really did stun them, Michael. I appreciate your question. And, of course, we have our study guide that talks about the heavenly city. And if you like that book we mentioned earlier, Heaven Is It For Real, talks about that. By the way, there are a number of Old Testament scriptures in Ezekiel. Even John in Revelation, he's quoting from Isaiah, where it talks about the wolf lying down with the lamb. In Ezekiel, it talks about this river of God and the trees that are for the healing of the nations. And so Zechariah, Daniel, some of these Old Testament prophets had glimpses of heaven, and they wrote about them in small segments in their prophecies. Hey, friends, we're going to have a break in just a moment, but before we go to the break, I want to tell you about something exciting that's coming up. We still have a couple of months to go, but I want to get the word out there. I will be going with Pastor Ross to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and for starting, believe it or not, October 31st, and for the month of November, through to November 22nd, we're going to be doing a special Bible study prophecy series on TV that will be seen, of course, on the internet around the world. It's called Landmarks of Prophecy. Landmarks of Prophecy, uplinking live. It'll be on Three Angels Broadcasting, as well as Amazing Facts Television, as well as you can go to the website that says simply Landmarks of Prophecy. And then during that series, we're going to be covering many of the most popular themes of prophecy that you hear us talk about on this program. One reason I thought about that is our last question that talked about heaven. We've got a whole presentation that talks about heaven. We talked tonight about the millennium. We'll be talking about angels and the beast and the second coming of Jesus and the Messiah and what his first coming was like and the history of Israel and much, much more. Landmarks of Prophecy is the website. Pray for the event. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. While I'm on the subject of websites, I wanted to also remind you, a lot of Bible students out there that want to better understand some of the prophecies in the Bible, we have a website that's called Bible Prophecy Timeline. And if you want to understand the whole scope in the panorama of Bible history, this is a website for you. It's simply BibleHistory.com. All you've got to do is remember BibleHistory.com. And if you type in Bible Timeline, I think that this Bible Timeline comes up top of the list there on Google and Yahoo. You'll see all the segments of Bible history mapped out in easy-to-understand categories. And then you can delve in as deep as you want. You can look at different Bible characters. It'll show you where they lived over the last 6,000 years. And what's really neat is you'll see where they lived in relation to each other. You'll be surprised to find the lives of Ruth and Samson and Eli, and some of these all overlapped. BibleHistory.com. Take a look there. We're going to have more Bible questions coming your way. Stay tuned.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Welcome back, listening friends. This is Bible Answers Live, and if you have tuned in along the way, we are a live, international, interactive Bible study, and you can call in with your Bible questions. We do have some lines open. My name is Doug Batchelor, and Pastor Ross is he's out of town tonight, coming back. And we're going to go back to the phones now, start out talking with Steve, who's been waiting patiently, calling from Minnesota. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi there. First, I want to say I am a believer, but I have a question about fossil fuels, and I know this isn't directly answered from the Bible, but maybe you can help me with it. Considering that the world has been in existence about 5,000 or 6,000 years, how is it that there can be so much in the way of fossil fuels, even trillions of barrels of fossil fuels? How could there have been that much fossils, that many fossils, to create that much fuel over relatively a shorter time?
Yeah, well,
5,000 or 6,000 years.
I think it's important to understand, and even the fossil record tells us, that there used to be copious amounts of vegetation. I mean, you know, you've seen the ferns, the fossils of ferns, and the vegetation, and even some of the artist's concepts of what the prehistoric world looked like that was extremely dense and lush. I mean, just the very size of so many of the creatures, both mammals and reptiles. They were enormous, you know, in North America. They had beavers that were 13 feet tall. And, right. You know, these giant sloths and giant... I've been on the island of Malta, where Paul was shipwrecked, and went to a museum there, and they had some skeletons of mammals, not even talking dinosaurs, just enormous. The whole ecology of the world radically changed with the flood. The flood was a radical change. I mean, before the time of the flood, God's word says it never even rained. The world was so moist, even the polar caps had vegetation, and fossils prove right. that. You find a lot of the oil up in Siberia. And so there was an extreme, radical convulsion in our planet that took all of this vegetation around the world and covered it rapidly. And, you know, through compression, it develops into coal and oil and gas and the different right. things that we have down there. But when the whole planet, not, you know, right now we've got a lot of desert in the world, and right now we've got, you know, a lot of Arctic and ice in the world. But before the flood, there was like this uniform polarized vapor that covered the planet, and the temperature was mild everywhere. And so the vegetation, and I'm not talking about little grass on the hills, they had, look at the deepest rainforests that we have now that are hundreds of feet deep, you know, from the treetops of the canopy. Think of what it must have been like in its pristine version. It could have been, you know, 500 feet deep. I know I'm exaggerating, but it could have been much bigger. We've seen some petrified trees that are just fabulous. So I think we underestimate how much vegetation was overturned and compressed and converted into these fuels. It's kind of strange when you think we drive down our road every day running on the world of Noah.
Right, right. Okay. Well, but, hey, thank you very much. That answers it.
I'm not an expert, but that's been the answers I've heard that satisfy me.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Great.
Appreciate
Thanks.
Your appreciate your call. Okay, going to talk next with Sharon, who is calling from Newark, Delaware. Sharon, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, Pastor Doug.
Evening.
My question is, I know about the state of the dead, and I know the truth about that. But I had a good friend of mine about a week ago pass away. And that night, I dreamt that my mom called me and told me that he had passed away, my mom being dead. And again, let me emphasize, I know about the state of the dead. My mother is sleeping. But what I was wondering is, since Satan can't read our thoughts, can he do anything with our dreams?
Sure. Now, I think the dreams come through three or four things. You know, a dream, most of the time, a dream is, our brain is something like a computer that kind of reboots at night during the dream process. You ever fall asleep for even just a few seconds and you feel better?
Yeah.
You just get like catnap. Dreams come through the multitude of business. Now, that's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, I think. It says, a dream cometh through the multitude of business, simply meaning that you do a lot of things and you're apt to dream about it at night. I used to play chess or checkers, and I dream about the chessboard at night, probably from staring at it all day. So, you know, that's common. And God can inspire dreams. We know he gave dreams to Joseph and to a number of characters in the Bible. And the devil, I mean, who hasn't had a nightmare where you wake up in a sweat and you feel like someone's strangling you? If we know Satan can put temptation in our mind, then why can't he do it while we're asleep?
Right.
So, certainly, the devil can whisper suggestions even to our subconscious. And I think the devil can influence dreams. And I think in the book of Job, he talks about in the night that this terror comes upon him and makes his skin crawl. It's almost like he's describing a nightmare or something that frightens him. So, yes, and, you know, what was the cause of your dream? I don't know. You know, I don't have that gift of Joseph, but it does sound strange when those things happen. Sometimes we think about people that we love when they pass away, and we wonder, are they trying to communicate with us? And it's just, you know, it's part of the grieving process. We have all these memories of people. And when my brother passed away, he was my older brother. There was never a time in my life when he wasn't there until he died. And my mind was so full of memories of him that sometimes I'd feel like he was around, then I'd remember that he had passed away. And it's a strange, your mind will play tricks on you. Anyway, appreciate your call, Sharon. I don't need to send you the study about are the dead really dead. I'm sure you know that. We're going to talk then to Deborah calling from WMUZ from Detroit, Michigan. Deborah, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Hey, I was calling because I think the one she asked for that you was telling her about are the dead really dead.
Yeah.
The one that says, tells you about your soul. When you die, your soul dies. Your breath goes back to God, and, you know, like your body goes in the grave. So, okay.
Uh-huh.
Not always been told that when you die, your soul is still alive. So could you kind of explain that to me, please?
Yeah, and, you know, it's easy, Deborah, for people to be confused on this because it is true that when you die, whether you're saved or lost, your next uh-huh. conscious thought is the resurrection. Now,
okay.
We know that the resurrection's in the future. The Bible says, when the Lord descends from heaven, the dead in Christ will rise. Jesus said, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Those that have done good come forth the resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. You can read in John chapter 6 and John chapter 11 when he raised Lazarus. Jesus said, at the last day, there'll be a resurrection. He calls it the last day. So the resurrection's future. But if you die, you have no consciousness of time. For you, the next thing you know is if you're saved, you're caught up to meet the Lord in the air and you're in his presence.
Okay.
But the resurrection hasn't happened, and furthermore, the judgment hasn't happened. You know, the great judgment day. So,
okay.
Obviously, it's still in the future. And so this
okay.
confuses people sometimes. So, physically, you know, we live in this world. We watch clocks and we live in a measured time. God is not confined to time like we are. But
okay.
when someone you love dies, they're resting in peace in the grave okay. until the resurrection.
Okay.
And so I do have a study, and anybody is welcome to have a copy of this. We'll be happy to send it to you. And it's called, Are the Dead Really Dead? You just call that resource number, 800-835-6747. We'll send you a copy. And anyone, right now, you can go online to Amazing Facts, just amazingfacts.org or amazingfacts.com. And we've got our Bible studies. And in that study, we have one about death. It's a very misunderstood subject. It's just strange. You can even go, you know, you go to the Bible Belt, go to one of these church cemeteries, walk around in one of the old church cemeteries, and even on the gravestones in the same denomination church cemetery, you'll see one tombstone that says, "Our Mother Singing with the Angels." The next tombstone, it'll say, "Our Mother Sleeping in Jesus." And it's like, they don't know, is she conscious and up in heaven, or is she sleeping waiting for the resurrection? So it's a common misunderstanding. Thank you, Deborah, for your call. And with that, we're going to go to Christine, who's calling from Kent, Michigan, listening on WMUZ. Christine, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Hi. I'm calling in regards to salvation. I wonder and question now if I'm even saved, because I don't bear good fruit. I've been miserable for years, and I keep praying and trying to read what I can understand. I'm not a real good, I'm not a scholar, but the point is I did years ago receive Jesus as my Savior, but I fell, and I fell hard, and I've been trying to get back. And although when I did receive the salvation, I didn't learn a lot. I had a misconception of salvation. So I wasn't what you would say a mature Christian at the time, mm-hmm. but for over 15 years, day after day, all I've done is pray and try to get back or try to find out whether or not I'm even saved, because I don't bear good fruit. I fall into temptation too easy, and I'm weak. And well, I wasn't raised with anything, so I don't know.
Let's talk about the answer. All right, first of all of us have sinned. So we know that, right?
Yes.
And the Bible also says without God, we can't do anything. But then it goes on, it says, through Christ, all things are possible. And so when we really say nothing is more important to us than Jesus, and we accept Jesus, and we repent of our sins, the Lord begins to work on our hearts. Now, you can accept Jesus right now. And, you know, if it doesn't matter if you've done it 1,000 times before. Paul said, I die daily, and that means you can be born again every day. You can renew your love and your commitment to Christ each day.
Okay.
And the promise is if we come to Jesus just like we are, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. In other words, he's not only faithful to do it, he has a right to do it because he's taken our sins.
Yes.
To forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. And so if you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, when you sincerely repent and you come to him, he gives you a gift of everlasting life. But then after you've accepted Jesus, so you can have everlasting life right now if you are sincere and you pray that and ask him and, you know, get off by yourself, get on your knees and just say to the Lord, you know, I've fallen 100 times. Jesus asks us to forgive each other 70 times 7. So how much will God forgive us?
Okay.
And, but then this time, Christine, say, Lord, I want to feed on your word. A baby does not grow if it doesn't breathe. I've done some funerals for children that died in their sleep.
Okay.
You know, the infant death syndrome. And if they don't breathe, they have a problem. A baby needs to eat. And a baby needs to get some exercise. And they will grow. They don't worry about growing. They will automatically grow if they're breathing and they're eating. They get some love and exercise. So you have to feed your soul. The Word of God is that bread. Spend time every day seeking after God. He promises, if you search for me, I will draw near to you. If you search for
him. I've been trying to search for him, and the only way I know how, I mean, I really have, but I don't seem to be, if I could make it correct, I don't seem to be relating or accepting a lot of things. It's like I lack not just wisdom, but his forgiveness or something, or love.
Well, you need.
I don't know.
You need the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to work in your heart. And if you seek after God, now feed on the Word of God, that's the eating. Breathing is prayer. Now you're seeking after God right now, and I believe he can hear your prayer. And the third thing is share your faith. Talk to other people about what Jesus means to you. And if you are feeding your soul, that side, your spirit will get stronger and the flesh will get weaker. And at the same time, you don't want to be feeding the carnal or the fleshly side of our natures. You know, if a person is watching typical American television, that's not usually good for their spirit. So you want to feed on the good things. But Christine, I need to take another call. Can I pray with you before I get off the air?
Yes, you can.
Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for Christine's appeal. I believe there are many out there that want to come right now to Jesus and accept him. Say, Lord, sometimes I stumble and I fall. Help her to be encouraged that she should press on. And just as Peter and David and others fell, you forgave them and they got new beginnings and they will be in the kingdom. I pray Christine can experience your spirit in her life and others who might be searching after you, and that she'll feed her soul. Bless her with your presence and sweet assurance, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, thank you very much for your call, Christine. And you know what? I would like to send you a book, or anyone who prayed that prayer with me. It's called 3 Steps to Heaven. It's free. You can read it online right now at amazingfacts.org, or you can ask for it, and we'll send it to you. Here's the number to call, 800-835-6747. Ask for the book, 3 Steps to Heaven. It talks you through the process of salvation. I know that'll be a blessing for you, Christine. All right, with that, I think we're going next to, we're going to talk to line 3. Talk to Dave, listening in Newport, Virginia. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Doug. First-time caller.
I'm glad you called.
Well, question is we had some discussion, I think, a week or two ago with one of my friends in relation to when Jesus does have the final judgment,
mm-hmm.
and those who did not accept Christ will you know, basically perish in the lake of fire. The question was, is it really going to be an eternity of being in hell, or will it perish and it's done, and all those that followed Satan will perish and there'll be no more?
Yeah, this is, well, first of all, there are two extremes when it comes to the subject of hell. You know, one group is sort of universalism. They believe everyone is going to be saved, and the Bible is clear that's not true. And they think there is no lake of fire, and that's not true. The Bible's very clear there is a place called hell where wicked are punished. Every man is punished according to what he deserves. But then likewise, the Bible is true that God is just, and it says that when heaven begins, there is no more pain. There is no more sin. Sinners are not immortalized. John 3:16 says there are two choices every person has, eternal life or perish. And when the wicked perish, it says they will be burnt up. And I'm giving you a bunch of scriptures. They'll be consumed. You can read Malachi chapter 4. It tells us that fire comes down from God out of heaven, Revelation 20, and devours them. It calls it the second death. It is a death. Eternal life is not promised to the lost. God doesn't say, I'll give you eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell. Eternal life, God, man does not have immortality. The Bible says God only has immortality, and it's a gift he gives to the redeemed. When Christ comes, then this mortal will put on immortality. So the scriptures are full of references that explain that, yes, there is a punishment, and everyone gets according to what they deserve. By the way, if everyone burns through eternity, not only does that make God sound sadistic, when you really think about that, it's creepy to me that I used to believe that you just think about a zillion years from now and your pain is not diminished. You're just in constant
agony. Well, and I think
agony.
That's what his question was, is, well, then if I'm doing bad all my life, then it's only going to be a second that I'm going to be dead and perish. So,
no.
What, you know, if I...
Well, first of all, why would a person want to turn down eternal life? Why would they think?
Right.
And it doesn't say a second and you'll perish. You know, there's one scripture talks about the devil burning day and night. And so if everyone is going to be punished according to what they deserve, there'll be varying degrees of punishment. You know, Jesus talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it's not, you know, snapping your fingers and it's over. People are going to have to face their wasted lives and all the evil they've done. And so if it's not for the mercy of the Lord, you know, there's that parable of the unmerciful debtor in Matthew 18. And when that man would not forgive his fellow servant as the king forgave him, the king delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. The thought that makes us shudder when we think about it. So there is a hell. There is a punishment. And have you read our lesson, Dave, that talks about is the devil in charge of hell?
I don't think I have, no.
Can I send you a free copy of that?
Sure, yeah. That would be great.
All you've got to do is call the phone number I'm going to give, 800-835-6747. It's called Is the Devil in Charge of Hell? Ask for our study guide on the Lake of Fire, and they'll give it to you. Or you can go online and read it right now at amazingfacts.org. You know, I hate to make people wait a week and a half to get their study. If you just go to the website, you can read it, you can download it, you can print it in color if you want. It's amazingfacts.org. It's under the Bible study tab. Thank you for your call, Dave. With that, we're going to move on and talk with Paula. Been waiting patiently on line six. Paula, you're on the air with Bible Answers Live.
Thank you. I've been struggling with this, and I'm a mature Christian. Why is it that when Adam and Eve were created prior to the fall, and we don't know how long they were in paradise
right.
prior to that, why is it that after they sinned, they suddenly realized that they were naked and hid? Why was it that nekedness suddenly was a bad thing? Huh?
Yeah, well, how did they suddenly realize that? Why is it suddenly evil? Well, let me tell you what I think is not clear for most people is Adam and Eve were not streaking around the garden the way that it sometimes is portrayed in paintings. You know, they've always got the leaves in the right place hiding things. Adam and Eve had garments of light before sin. You remember when Moses, if you read in Exodus, when Moses was talking to the Lord on the mountain, he came down. His face was shining so much they couldn't even look at him. They asked him to veil his face. Do you remember reading that?
Yeah.
When Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration, Mark chapter 9, it says he began to shine. When Adam and Eve could talk to God and they were sinless, they had these robes of light. And they didn't even think about the nakedness because they just emanated light. And after they sinned, the light went out. That happens a lot today. When, you know, sometimes people are walking in the light of the Lord, they turn from God, they sin, and it just gets dark. And Adam mm-hmm. and Eve suddenly, it's like all the contrast had changed, and they saw the shame and the nakedness because they're robes of light. Revelation says to all the saved are given these robes that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. I think they're living robes of light that God gives. He's not giving us clothing of skin. He's not giving us wool or cotton. I think these are heavenly garments of light. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, the light went out, and they saw their nakedness. So I know that you have to prove that by going to other places in the Bible where it talks about this garments of light that creatures had and how they shined when they talked to God.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I just have never been able to, your response about them being covered in light where they couldn't see. I just don't get the, I still don't for myself make the connection on why the nakedness was viewed as a bad thing.
Well, you know, even today, where there's sin, there's shame. And suddenly they were overcome with a sense of their shameness. They were uncovered. And when Jesus died on the cross, they stripped him of his clothes. And it brought on that same kind of shame. I hope that helps a little, Paula. We're kind of run short on time. Listening friends, I don't think it will be fair for me to take another caller. I'd have to probably cut him short. So will you please permit me in the closing moments of our broadcast? I think you need to admit, friends, we do our best not to smother this program with appeals, but we do need to let you know that it is entirely listener supported. If you've been blessed, if you're encouraged or instructed, I hope you'll decide to be one of our friends that says, you know, I think I'd like to give to keep this program on the air. And the Lord will bless you when you do. He promises it's more blessed to give than receive, and he'll open the windows of heaven. Help us get the word out. It's easy. Just go to amazingfacts.org. And you can make a donation right there online. It just says donate. And in the meantime, make sure and download some of the free studies. All of it that we're sharing with you is free. AmazingFacts.org. God willing, we will talk together again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a Savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in all the Bible. A new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.